Hello, welcome back to TBI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean.
It's episode 98. Wagwan. It's 98.
I thought I sounded a bit posher. Julian Dean.
It's fine, mate. We're trying to better ourselves. You're a teacher now. You've got to speak better. Thanks for joining us. This is... I can't believe we've almost done 100 episodes.
I know.
I thought we'd have been taken off the air at least by episode 25, but we're still going. Today's guest is a very funny stand-up. Her name is Bethany Black. I think I started out around the same time as Bethany. I remember us doing gigs back in the day, man.
She helped me out a lot when I first started. She gave me a lot of advice and that. I don't even know if she remembers.
You know, maybe she's dishing it out to loads of
people.
She
said, quit, mate. No, really.
She said, it's not for you, mate. Get a proper job. Anyway, kick back. Any admin we need to do? We should probably just thank our patrons, innit?
Thank you, patrons, yeah.
Sign up at patreon.com/WeAreTVI. And you can do things like join us at our monthly get-together on Zoom.
That was really fun, that last one.
It was really fun, wasn't it? Sort of. What I like is, as well, it's only probably, I don't know what percentage, it's quite a small percentage of patrons show up to it. I think most patrons are quite happy just to support, be part of the community, but support the podcast.
A lot of them were like listening without their... What we could do on the next one is turn, only have people with the... Like, you can... I can't even form sentence. I've literally just woke up.
Really? I think...
This is an admin discussion on the...
But no, but basically, the way it works is it's just a Zoom. We all have a genuine chat. There's no, like, it's not a show. It's nothing. We just have a catch-up and get together.
It was fun, though, wasn't it?
Really fun.
Ex-copper...
Oh yeah, it was great. We heard
the psychiatric nurse in that criminally Broadmoor, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. And
Rachel Fairbairn was there.
She popped in for a chat. It's great fun. So anyway, we're doing them monthly. So if you want to join up, you get to come to those if you want, or you don't have to if you feel a bit awkward joining them.
You have to come to there if you sign up.
You don't have to. So put them off. There might be shy people. Anyway. What we're saying is thanks to all our patrons. Thanks to everyone else who just listened to the podcast. You know, we couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you, guys. So kick back and listen to us.
Relax.
Talk to comedian Bethany Black. Enjoy.
Bye.
Just puff on your asthma inhaler.
We actually changed the podcast.
I'm all right, bro.
That's our new intro noise. Welcome back to TBI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean here. Hi.
Yeah, and guest Bethany Black. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. How are you doing? You all right?
How the hell are you? We've just been talking about you've got a good audio setup compared to some guests. Even we've had guests on recently, like it's not like lockdown's
walking down
a new
the street
thing.
On their phone.
Oh mate, let's not talk.
Freezing every 3 seconds.
I'm gonna zoom it and I'm just gonna put my AirPods in so you can hear through that.
Just that one right? AirPod.
Hang on, it's a bit noisy in this cafe.
Walking down a busy road. Oh, fucking hell.
It's a bit noisy at this rally.
Hang on, I'll go move somewhere quieter. I'll go into the intensive care unit. That's a bit quieter than where I am right now.
But did anyone see the footage of that guy basically storming an ICU unit and trying to break his dad out, saying like, "You guys, I'm going to take him home. This is just, you know, you're not doing anything. I'm going to give him vitamin D." And the doctor deserves a medal, man, for how calm he is. He's literally saying to the guy, "If you take your dad out of here, he's going to die." And the guy's like, "Why is he going to die?" He's like, "Cause he's got coronavirus.
Coronavirus, and his blood oxygen is below 80%. Yeah. He's going to fucking die in seconds."
Fucking hell, man.
It's that thing.
Doctors are used to that, I suppose, aren't they? Like,
I don't think to the level of this last 6 months. I think
it's definitely up.
It's really peaked, hasn't it?
also at that point, when somebody's doing that, you've really got to then also ask the follow-up question. When you say you're going to give him vitamin D, do you mean you're going to stick your dick in
it? Are you going to find Are you going to bum your dad, mate? Is that what we're talking about?
Is that what we're talking about here?
One last time before he pops it.
Because you know that that's not what vitamin D is, right?
I feel, and the problem
plus,
is...
vitamin D isn't a cure, it's like a prevention.
Well, it helps your immune system.
Yeah.
Hence, not get you don't get as ill in summer. In summer, isn't it? That's all it is.
Yeah, it's part of the reason that the COVID figures are lower in countries closer to the equator.
Yeah. It's So anyway, I watched that video and I don't normally watch. You know, in these videos that are like viral, everyone needs to watch this. I always avoid them like the plague. But yesterday,
I always forward them around.
I see.
I'd never break the chain.
Send them out on a bunch of WhatsApp groups.
Apparently, if you don't send them to six people, you'll get COVID.
Exactly. And I haven't got COVID, so it actually works.
Yeah, definitely working.
What's because you where are you? You're in like you're one of the last people I gigged with before it all kicked off the coronavirus. Because I remember we did the Frog and Bucket.
And it was like the week before.
It was the first weekend of February, and then everything started getting shut down the week after.
We're doing all right. I'm up in Lancashire. I'm in rural Lancashire. So
that's
lovely.
You were telling me about you're in a nice sort of village.
It is, it is, and like really quiet. On the side of a hill. And like having gone from being in a really noisy house in South Manchester and arriving here, like the closest, like we'd arrived and it was like, oh, it's really, really quiet. And then I met our next door neighbour and realised she was 8.5 months pregnant. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no.
But,
there we go.
But no, it turns out that we've got like the it's a stone cottage. It's like a stone railway terrace. So we can't hear anything other than now because I've got a little dog. So we hear that occasionally, little Dachshund.
Nice. That is it is because it's a funny because I reckon lockdown has changed my opinion. I love going away somewhere quiet. I love getting away into the wilderness essentially, but I've always thought I could never leave the city. I love London. I love Manchester actually. Like I love there's certain cities I think I could I don't think I could ever live out of it because I find it boring. And I do think lockdown has taught me no, actually, I could quite easily live in the middle of nowhere happily. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this has been like honestly, I didn't like at the beginning of it, like because it, I'd like been struggling anyway living in Manchester and like not going out. Like, I've had agoraphobia for years, right?
You've been practicing for this.
Yeah, you can have that anywhere. You know, it's fine.
It's true.
You don't have to live in a city with that. And yeah, and moving out here, like. Just has really helped.
Sorry,
helped
Julian,
with
what
that.
Are you doing? So Julian's fiddling with his mic. Fucking thing. Just stop. Leave it where it is. It's fine. You sound fine.
Yeah, no, I sound fine. No, what I need to do is just like move it until it starts creaking.
I just need to play with it.
Julian's got we've never actually diagnosed it, but it's definitely an issue with fiddling.
But ADHD. Anyway. That's why I got one of these rings, which has got a little. It's like got a little slider in it. So I can just sit here and fiddle with that for ages without.
Wow, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, because otherwise, when you're talking,
I might get married as well.
Right, I'm going to buy Julian one for every finger and probably one for his cock. Just
well, it's that thing of like I've been in conversations like once I got diagnosed with ADHD and I was like in conversations with people, I felt a little bit better going right. I am listening to you, but I'm going to have to pick up my phone because I can't sit here and.
Yeah, I actually messaged you a couple of years ago about what medication you were on, and I was Googling it trying to get it as well. Because it's quite a long process to get diagnosed, isn't it?
Well, it's just a long waiting list more than anything else.
My son's been diagnosed with it, and I'd be really shocked if I hadn't got it.
Oh, mate, I would put everything I own on you being ADHD.
Like someone was writing about it, and it's almost like if I'm talking to someone and there's somebody having a conversation next to me, I can't not. Yeah. Listen to them. I can't, my brain can't go just forwards. It has to listen to noises or if like someone's tapping
you
or
mean your nosy. Is that what you
yeah. Especially if they're talking
nosy.
About me.
clinically nosy.
What
that's
did
what
you, what were you diagnosed? Well, what is agoraphobia? Was that the older of the,
that was an older thing. Well, no, cause it's like cause I'm autistic. Right. And,
you've got all of them. You've
got all of them. Yeah. Got fucking grand slam. full house motherfuckers. Oh God, I nearly did that thing that people do on podcasts. Can I swear on this? Of course.
Yeah, of course you can. Absolutely.
If you
don't swear, I edit some in.
Yeah, oh, cool. Does your accent over the top.
Oh, fucking hell. Because I knew I was autistic. And I was like, for years, I hadn't like ever got a diagnosis on that. And it's that thing when people go to their doctor and they go, oh, I think I'm autistic. Doctors go, oh, you've done a BuzzFeed quiz and you think, I'm autistic. Yeah, yeah. Whereas most people who are autistic, when they go to a doctor and go, I think I'm autistic, it's because they've spent 3 years reading every single clinical article on autism and have gone, oh, I fit all of these criteria perfectly. I think that might be the case. Yeah, I don't want to say I definitely have it because that would be inaccurate. So I hadn't really done that. And it was only because I'd been seeing a therapist about all sorts of stuff. And she was like, all right, so you're agoraphobic. So how long is that? I was like, not fucking agoraphobic. No, like that's like Sigourney Weaver in the movie Copycat, where you just stay indoors and you talk to people on the internet all day. Oh, fuck, yeah, I am, aren't I? Right, yeah. Okay.
I saw that on the internet.
And also, when you quoted that exact film, she said, you're also probably autistic. I'm afraid I've just diagnosed you from that knowledge.
Well, no, that's it. Because I went and I said, I'm autistic. And she went, have you got a diagnosis of that? I went, nah, I haven't. And she went, do you want a diagnosis? I went, yeah. And so I went,
Emma, £20, meet you in the car park.
Well, no, so she went and I got a referral. And it was like, I had to wait like 18 months to go to this, to go and like see this specialist. And it was like a 3-hour interview, just like asking loads of questions. Yeah. And it started, like the first three were, do you like to talk to individuals or groups more? Which do you prefer? Do you like to say things just to see what people's reaction will be? Do you like to say the same things over and over again? And I was like, are you asking me whether I'm a comedian what?
Because it's my fucking job, mate.
Yeah. But we went through like the whole thing and they said, right, okay, we're going to go away. We're going to like have a look at the stuff and we'll call you back in a week's time. We'll have a follow up and we'll tell you then. And I was like, all right, okay. And when I'd gone in, like I'd done this thing for York University where they said, if you fill in a questionnaire, we'll give you an Amazon voucher for filling in the questionnaire. And then if you're autistic, we'll send you another one and you'll get another Amazon voucher. And I was like, all right, okay. And then like in the space between the first one and getting the diagnosis, I got the Amazon voucher and the questionnaire through the post. I was like, this is the best way to receive a diagnosis, you know, with a £20 Amazon voucher with it. But I did like in between that, like it was on the Friday that I had the first assessment and on the Monday I phoned them up and said, look, I'm really worried because when we were talking, you were asking me about things. I gave the wrong number of a Marvel comic. I said that it was issue 181 that is Wolverine's first appearance in The Incredible Hulk, and it's 180 because he's in a single panel. I just want you to know that just in case that goes against me. And I was still surprised.
Thanks.
When
no, that's really, just make a note of that. Yeah, sorry. We need to get to the file quickly.
Yeah.
It's going to change everything.
Yeah. So I'd got that. And then they went, ADHD also tends to be a thing that's quite common in people who are autistic. So I got a diagnosis for that about...
Would you say, sorry, I was miles away, what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Have you seen the... There's an Amy Schumer documentary that she made while basically pregnant, and it follows her pregnancy, but also follows her then working at the same time and writing a new Netflix show. It's brilliant. It's a really good
documentary. I've not seen it. I've seen a couple of little clips of it, but
and the special, the special's really good as well. But I watched the special first and then the documentary. And in it, her husband gets diagnosed with as being on the autistic spectrum during the whole affair. Like, and basically, it's really interesting because you can like he is definitely you can tell he's got something going on that means he's sort of not. You can tell that he's either
he's not engaging in the same way that everyone else is.
Yeah, and it's like you can tell he's very dead. He's very deadpan. Like he's the opposite of her. She's so big and gregarious, and he is just so deadpan. It's unreal. Yeah. And it just it's really interesting.
It often happens as well. It often happens with people like, because my sister my sister isn't autistic and doesn't have any of those sort of traits, but she's full on like ADHD traits and like. Loud and gregarious and out there and needs to be around people, and her partner is just like the quietest, most deadpan like artist. He sits in the corner and just draws all day, and they're a perfect couple
it's definitely worth watching because it's just you really see that like, she sort of diagnoses him like and then decides to sort of that he should, and then sort of talks him into starting to maybe seek some help.
Well, this and is it, because really after all of this, my mum was like, ended up listening to a thing on the radio about somebody who was diagnosed as autistic in their 70s. And it was only through that that she went, and got in touch with me. And she went, I think I'm autistic. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, yeah. Well, why did you never tell me that I was far too strict with you when you were a teenager? I was like, I did. You took no fucking notice because you were too strict with me when I was a teenager.
I mean, if being strict is a sign of autism, my parents do not have autism. They were the most lax parents that have ever existed.
I think my mum needed everything to be in exactly the right space and exactly how it should be, and everything needed to be perfectly tidy, and she needed to know exactly where we were every single second. And when I needed to be at home, I needed to be at home on the dot. Like if it was 11 o'clock curfew, I needed to be at home at 11. If it was 1 minute past 11, she was on the phone to the police to try and find out where I was.
Jesus. My mum's got a lot of lifelong depression, and she's sort of, you know, there's been periods where it's been particularly bad, and it was the opposite for me. It almost meant that she sometimes like was incapable of any mothering, so she just had to sort her shit out. So I just had an absolute free ride my entire childhood. It was great. I just did
it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, yeah, I'm really glad to hear that. Makes me feel a lot better.
I would have preferred her to be
to know that I was right, you know. Yeah. It's that thing. It's just that, I think it's that thing of going, oh, right, okay, no, I was right. If she had been a bit more relaxed, it would have been nicer sometimes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't come out of any great education or, you know, not got a safety net, but I'm also quite socially confident. Yeah. So, you know, it's a swings and roundabouts,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So in terms of like the lockdown, have you as an agoraphobic, does that mean it's been easier, or is it have you got annoyed with other people moaning about it? Because you're like, this is my fucking life, mate.
It is. Well, do you know what? That did happen, actually. Like, in the first sort of 3 months, I did get a bit pissed off with people going, oh, God, this is no kind of life. I'm like, what? Fuck off. No.
Yeah. I suppose it must be. And this is like, I think I know people that have got chronic OCD and stuff. Like, the thing that annoys them is when people chuck it around as I'm a bit OCD, because they basically have all their books on one shelf. Like, you know, or like people who go on ADHD because they're basically...
I like to turn the light off when I go out. Just once. Yeah.
I like to turn the gas off before I go to bed. Bit, you know, a bit OCD. Like,
yeah, a bit OCD. I've locked a door before.
Yeah. But I think there's that. I think a lot of people like just use it the most basic little moment as, well, obviously I've got it, a bit of it.
Yeah.
Which is bollocks.
Yeah, and that's it. Do you know what? It's like, it's been interesting because I've been probably the most mentally healthy that I've been in my entire life for the last year.
That's interesting.
Yeah, what's the only time that it's been socially inappropriate to do so.
Yeah, I suppose. Like, I don't think it has been. I don't really understand that. I've seen some people who've made that point that, you know, it's a bit unfair to sort of show yourself enjoying this period because people are dying. I was like, hang on, but there's always people dying somewhere in the world.
And you're not going to help anyone else. Like, you don't become blind to help blind people. You can't help somebody by meeting them down in misery, can you?
Well, yeah, that's it. And it's also like there's so much misery going on. Fuck in the world that being able to see that some people are enjoying themselves can go and give you a bit of light in it all. But it has kind of felt
that
like
was my point.
Yeah.
Because it sort of goes.
I sounded like an arsehole. I meant
That's what I was saying. Oh, fuck! Right,
sometimes there's a bit too much of the, especially, and I'm talking social media here. Of the, you know, sort of it's okay to not be okay sort of brigade.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, it's also
it's okay to be okay. Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong with sometimes going, do you know what, actually? I'm
having a great day, guys.
That's kind of where
worst death rate. Worst death rate in the world.
Like, weirdly, and this is probably the least popular opinion I'll ever have. But you know, at the minute, all the influencers are getting loads of shit. Going to Dubai during like lockdown, and you know, they're putting photos of themselves going, guys, just I'm so lucky to be able to come over here for work. It's like, you ain't working. You're taking three photos by the pool a day. And people are going on and like, this is disgusting. There's a lockdown. I'm like, part of me is like, well, just because they're clever enough to get away with it, I actually don't think I don't have an issue with what they're doing.
If I was young enough and attractive enough to be offered money to go and fuck off to a place where there's fewer restrictions and sit in that sort of environment without having to worry. Yeah.
I know, it just stinks of, if I can't do it, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to stay at home. And I hate staying at home.
They can unfollow them, can't they? Do you know what I mean? There is that.
Well, it's that, there's so much of that outrage. Like, I've been a really big fan of blocking people on social media for the minimum things. Just minor things. I've seen somebody be slightly annoying on someone else's thread and just gone, nah, fuck it.
You've got to be brutal these days. Like, I'm mute. Yeah. I'm mute, like, in a drop of a hat. Just like, I don't actually block. I always mute them. So I find it easier and just, it lets them be. It doesn't, I don't, because they might find out that they're blocked.
And like, come round, what are they going to do? Stand outside shouting, listen to my opinions.
But there is, if they're muted, they'll just never know. I think that's much nicer.
There we go. I've got I don't know if you can see that. I've got like
20,000 blocks.
Fucking hell.
That's next level.
Every time.
20,000.
How many do you follow?
How many people do I follow?
21,000.
No, I only follow like 2,000 people.
That is ruthless ratio.
Every person I follow, I block 10 people.
That's amazing.
There must be some satisfaction in hitting that, having some control and just block.
It's that thing. I recognize, like, I'm old enough now and set enough in my ways that I go, I don't want to have to deal with this shit. Especially with people, it's like, I've had this argument before. I don't need to have this argument again.
Yeah.
None of us are going to get anything from it.
It's making it like cathartic, block.
Yeah, or just mute or block, so you just don't ever find yourself in that argument. Like, the amount of people I know that still engage with, like, Lawrence Fox or these people that they find so upsetting. And I've just muted him and his name just so, like, because I don't want to even, I don't care.
People are looking for it, aren't they? They're looking for that kind of stuff. They want to hate on someone, I guess.
Yeah, and it's that whole thing of just like being able to, well, it's performative. It goes and says to people, to other people, follow me because I'm one of you. And this is the thing that I believe. And I hate this dickhead. And the problem is that it just, because of the way that social media is set up, it rewards engagement and it mistakes engagement for enjoyment.
Absolutely.
And you need to be able to separate the two things out.
Yeah.
Good advice.
My feed is mostly like Tottenham stuff and funny people.
Just about the area or the football.
it's very geographical.
Just the town.
Geographical. Yeah. He's got a GPS on David Lammy and everything. Just
the traffic.
Just anyone who's got is got a postcode in the area. I just follow them.
The Tottenham massive.
And people still go on about it being an echo chamber, and it pisses me off every time they do that, because it's like, no, because I only follow people I like. I've blocked 20,000 plus people, and I still know within seconds when Lawrence Fox has done something, when any of the sort of people who will just go and raise my blood pressure and make me feel depressed for the day and just make me wander around with that nagging away at the back of my head, and I don't want it. So I'm just like,
It's almost impossible. Like, I struggle to work out sometimes how these things get into my feed. I'm like, how many people do I have to mute?
Because even people you're not following, you can see on your feed now, can't you?
Well, sometimes they pop up and you're like, how do you get in here? Fuck off.
There is a thing you can do. When you go to the top of your feed, you can go and change it to the little sparkly thing in the top corner. You can go and press on that.
Yeah.
And it goes and changes it so that you get your tweets in the order that they've been tweeted rather than their algorithm.
Rather than that weird selection of, like, here's some things you might have missed. It's like, mate, if I missed them, it's because I wanted to miss them. I've been busy.
Yeah, it's like walking into
on Parler.
Would be shitty walking into a pub and somebody going, oh, yeah, you weren't here earlier on, so here's a recording of...
Dave's fucking stupid rant. HBO roundup of what you've missed.
Yeah,
I follow a thing called Parler Takes, which is basically somebody who screenshots Trump fans having meltdowns, and they're very funny because it's people that genuinely believe the whole QAnon thing.
Yeah.
And obviously have now realised they've been totally hoodwinked by a wanker.
Well, a lot of them have, and a lot of them are now waiting for the 20th of March.
20th of
March. Or is it the 4th of March? Sorry, no, the 4th of March, which is...
So there's a few that are still convinced it's happening. But it's basically this account just takes screenshots from Parler of like people, but a lot of them are people going like, I've wasted 3 years believing he was going to save us. I'm like,
well, I've lost all of my friends.
Yeah.
He didn't give QAnon a pardon, did he? That shaman guy or something.
Well, no, he didn't give any of them.
He didn't do any of the things that they believed he was going to do.
Yeah, because they believed that he was going to like go and bring down a corrupt, satanic, cannibalistic child sex ring that was being run by Hillary Clinton.
They thought he was going to drain the swamp. That's the whole point of it, was he was going to drain the swamp, and he ended up pardoning loads of the swamp.
He just pardoned about 10 rappers or something.
Well, he pardoned loads of like white collar criminals, didn't he? Like big fraud people that defrauded like pension funds and stuff.
I know he did about...
He did Lil Wayne as well.
They had a couple of fun ones,
but he defrauded one guy who like literally defrauded like hundreds of thousands of pensioners out of their pension fund and stuff
That's wrong, is it?
No, you're not allowed to do that. But
They're a bit strict and you can't do that, I suppose.
I mean, they're stricter on that in the US than they are here. So
That's good to know. That's why I'm here, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's happening in March then? What are they?
Oh, in March, they reckon that's when he's going to have his actual inauguration.
Yeah.
Not been watching the news or?
Well, yeah, they think that he's got, because they think that he's on this top secret mission that's from God and the US Secret Service.
At Giza.
He's going to do this. All partly because he was kind of instrumental, it turns out, in bringing down Jeffrey Epstein. Because he grassed him up to the police after they had a row over a house that Jeffrey Epstein wanted to buy that Trump bought out from underneath him and made $96 million on him. So Jeffrey Epstein tried to sue him. So in retaliation, Trump went and grassed him up to the police. That was like the start of that thing. And so they kind of, all the QAnon stuff, they kind of believe that he's been in on this. So the photographs of him with Epstein is him on deep secret missions trying to get all of this shit together.
Rather than him just trying to get his nonce on, innit?
That's what he was trying to do.
So Trump did help with the bringing down Epstein by default over money, basically.
It was over money, not over morality, on account of the pair of them had both been to a party.
That paedophile shortchanged me. I'm going to the police.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what
happened.
Pedo
owes me money, man.
I'm going to grass him up for noncing my kids if he makes a tenner.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And yeah, it's just, and so many people have fallen into that rabbit hole. I follow one as well called Accidentally Left Wing, which is great fun of people just like making what they think are ridiculous arguments that are actually fairly standard left wing arguments.
It's really funny, isn't it? Because it is that thing of, it shows how the hairs sort of breath between certain factions of both political at the end of the spectrum.
Well, it's right wing people making statements that they think's new, but
that they think are ridiculous.
Statements.
Yeah, that they're angry with about the way that the world has gone, and they've basically like accidentally making left wing points. Like this whole thing, it was something about how one of them that I'd seen recently was somebody complaining about how like all of these big companies were going and spending all of this money, and what we should do instead is, why don't we go and like, why don't we go and take money off them and then go and spend it for things in the community? It's like, you've accidentally invented taxes there, mate.
And there was one.
Should we call them taxes?
Well, yeah, it's like those tech guys who every couple of weeks come up with a new app that is essentially a fucking bus.
Well, that's the one of the recurring ones on there.
It's like a giant Uber with two decks on it. We can paint it red.
And it stops off at certain places and everyone just gets on. I've seen at least three startup apps where that has been the premise of it. And you're like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Have you seen the ones on there where it's people, you know, like every... Like there's sometimes union strikes in America of like McDonald's workers and stuff. Obviously, because they get paid such shit, and they're basically just asking for a minimum, sort of a living wage.
Yeah.
Normally, it's like they want $15 an hour or something, And that accidentally left winger always catches a couple of belters where they're like, what? Well, if they're paid, what? If we're going to pay McDonald's workers $15, then surely we should start paying all like hospitality workers more. It's like, well, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
What we're saying.
Literally the point. Yeah, congratulations. It's funny, well done,
man. But that's what I mean. That's the problem with like, I do find there are, I find a lot of funny stuff on Twitter. So yeah. I do like popping on there to see some things that make me laugh, but it is, it's over the years, it's got harder and harder to just filter enough of the bullshit out that that's all you see. I still get caught out by the cack sometimes.
Yeah. And I think I'm starting to get quite good at that just because I mean, I unfollowed a load of people who were just because I made a statement, said like beforehand, I'm going to start unfollowing people who quote tweet arseholes for clout because you're helping them and I don't think you should do that.
And so
I started unfollowing people who were joining in on doing that sort of stuff, and I stopped doing it myself. I occasionally lapse and will occasionally do it.
Yeah, I've not done it. I used to do it because I quite like to get in the shit, having a laugh with like sort of. So I'd quote tweet like Katie Hopkins and try to just do a joke about her or whatever. But that was me just being a shit stirrer. And actually, I've just stopped doing that in the last sort of 6 months, a year.
Well, because we've seen what happens when you go shit stirring. eventually, one of the biggest turds goes and rises up to the top.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It does sort of just, you are essentially just sharing that person, aren't you? Even if you're sharing to your people who think they're an arsehole, you're still sharing it. It's the same.
Yeah, thing. You're not actually increasing any of the good in the universe. No, and I think, that's where I'm at now. I don't want to do that. I like to be.
That's what I've had that epiphany as well.
Yeah, and she's become big based on stuff like that, hasn't she? I guess
definitely. I mean, she's not. I mean, she's now like a sort of full on
like her the most controversial contrarian. The most controversial stuff she says is the stuff that makes the headlines, I guess.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And it's that thing of the like Twitter generating headlines. Outrage. Generating outrage in that way. Like, you can make an amount of money at it, but you've got to be... It's a game that you need to be really, really careful at. Because when you look at what happened with her and then what she said to Jack Monroe and then got sued by Jack Monroe and is now basically bankrupt... And then there was a guy called Milo Yiannopoulos who did exactly the same thing. He was part of Gamergate.
His downfall was about the paedophile thing on the Rogan podcast, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, it was where he said...
And the right turned against him as well, and he's kind of...
And he's also, the thing was he'd been banned from Twitter and had to go over onto Parler, and he got banned from Facebook, and all of his sources of income dried up.
Well, that's
immediately from that.
He can't touring around. He can't, no venues would give him space.
Because at that point he was going around and he was going to universities and complaining and then making things really like deliberately targeting trans students on campus for hate from the people who he was talking to. And it's that whole thing of like, oh, it's deplatforming. It's a terrible thing, but it fucking works. And some of these people, like, I think there's such a mood in the world that's like, well, you know, you have to be able to have both sides of the argument. You don't, because some arguments have been settled and we don't need to have them again.
And it's also not a new thing. This is what annoys me about, I suppose, in the social media age again, a lot of people might not have heard about it before, but deplatforming and people being removed from talks at universities has been going on forever. There's a guy called Peter Singer who's like, well, he's a moral philosopher. He's very well known in the vegan community. Yeah. He wrote a famous book called Practical Ethics about the ethics of meat eating and how he basically, you know, he wrote a book that is, it's very hard to argue with it. And as a vegan, I support the view of it. But if you're a meat eater, it would be a hard read. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's not allowed to speak at most universities because in the book, his arguments are, if you're basing it on sentience, if you're eating animals because you don't think they're as sentient as you...
You can eat babies.
Well, you can eat babies, you can eat disabled people. Like he talks about, if that's your argument that sentience is the only reason, then why are you only counting it as sentience for one species? You should actually... If you're the sort of... you're the arbiter of sentience and you have to actually... argue the other way, and he wrote this book, and he wasn't saying that you should be eating babies.
No, he was just saying that
on a logical level, that's what their arguing.
If you're taking this to its conclusion, if you take it to its eventual conclusion.
He's not allowed to speak at most universities in the world. It hasn't been since like the 80s. So, like, deplatforming isn't something that's only used against your Milos of this world. It's been used against extreme left-wing people. It's been used against everyone.
Well, yeah, and it's that thing, like, especially with Twitter, with Trump being taken off Twitter in the last couple of weeks and people going, what would... Because this was another one that came up in that, like, accidentally left-wing. What would happen if they suddenly started just arbitrarily going and removing left-wing people's accounts on Twitter?
Like, loads of them
they fucking have done.
Yeah, loads of them. Yeah, it's literally, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm half expecting that mine will get taken down today because I just, without any context and with no text, put up a picture of a blueprint of a guillotine.
You're done, mate. You're out.
That's it. I fucked it. Like, I've taken myself out of Twitter. That's what's happened.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
It's interesting because in campuses in America, they can bar people unless it's, if they're Christians doing it, then they're legally not allowed to. They have to let them in, apparently.
Well, Christians are allowed to talk regardless.
Yeah, yeah, apparently so.
Freedom of religion.
Bomber Clark.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be allowed anyone.
Why? Maybe not just Christians, mate. Maybe it's all religions. I don't know, but...
Part of the First Amendment freedom of religion thing. But
is that what it is? Yeah, okay.
I suspect so. Yeah, but it's that, like, because I've really sort of took an interest in the whole freedom of speech argument on account of having been too scared to say things for a lot of my life because of like facing consequences of stuff. Well, and it's like,
yeah, but you know, like, when you say be afraid of saying it, what do you mean by like?
I've had like pylons of people on Twitter who've done things like sending photographs of the front door of my house to me to let me know that they know where I live.
Get a new one. It's a bit into paint job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a parcel for you. I'll leave it with a neighbour.
Yeah,
it's a bit rude to the Amazon.
Could you not do
driver.
This publicly on Twitter, please? Shit like that. And
about
I've had, like,
what topic was that? That's
that was talking about trans rights. Oh, talking about being trans on like just. Generally, and ended up getting into like arguments over people who didn't think I should really exist. But I've had all sorts of stuff like over the years, like, because I've never sort of really properly backed down from a fight. I've got a horrifically like strong justice reflex. Like, I will regularly go and put myself in. Like, I got fired from three jobs.
Sounds like a show title.
Justice Reflex. but yeah, I got fired from several jobs for like making a scene when co-workers have been racist. And like,
what, cheering them or?
Yeah, being like properly like, go on, be more racist. No,
high-fiving them too hard.
Yeah, that's it.
Bounce it.
Yeah, no, just like calling them, calling them out for being racist and stuff like that, and it just contributed to a work environment where it was like, no, we don't think you're a good fit in this work environment, and we wouldn't like
bloody
to work
hell.
Here and
where was the job?
This was. One of them was in Chorley, where I grew up, and like, so, you know, a really white town.
Yeah, it would have been.
But it's like, I've never properly backed down from any of those things. And when I was younger, I was a lot more fearless. And as a result of that, I've ended up being in situations where people have been really shitty and threatening me for stuff. But it's like, not just that, because like, sometimes there's a physical worry about what will happen if I say something. But there's also, which I think is gets to the crux of what people really worry about, there's the social aspect of it. Like, there are certain things that if I said about working in stand-up or doing stuff, that would mean that I wouldn't get booked for gigs and wouldn't get to be
bills
with other people. And it, certain jokes that I would make, that even if they did get a laugh, would then mean that promoters would go, oh, I don't really like that, and you made me feel uncomfortable about that, so I don't really want you to talk about it. And people don't really talk about that when it's like, when it's suddenly now that other people are having consequences. I've seen certain comedians saying, well, I think this is absolutely terrible that people are having to do that. Because, like, imagine if you had to, like, properly think through what you were going to say before you said it. Like, there'd be loads of comics that we didn't get to hear from. It's like, there are loads of comics we don't get to hear from for that exact fucking reason now.
Yeah.
Because also, they belong to different minority groups.
I think a lot, there's sometimes that there's a lot, when people talk about self-censorship, I think often... I do think there's probably an element in that. I've never felt I've done it, but I think I'm, no, but that's probably because my sense of humor, it doesn't, oh yeah, I just don't write stuff that would be like that. But I leave that to Julian. but it's more like, obviously there's an element of self-censorship to everything you do in comedy because you have to
tailor
it and work it to the point where it works for an audience. Otherwise, when people say you should be able to say whatever you want to say, but then you're going to be shit at comedy because that's not going to work.
You've
as
seen
a joke.
The ones who do say whatever it is that they want to say, and you just go, what the fuck is going on that you're just getting up there and being that horrible? You've mistaken being horrible for being funny.
Most of them don't get off the open mic circuit. I mean, the majority of the open mic circuit is little fucking edgelords thinking that's what comedy is, and they learn quickly it ain't. Comedy's about being funny, isn't it?
So
there's that. There's a thing, because obviously I've heard you talk about being trans on stage forever, like as long as I've seen you gig.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, because now it seems, obviously, it's a topic that seems to be, like, obsessed about by certain groups who are, have lost their minds over it.
Has it got
more difficult talking about it now than it was, say, a decade ago?
Yes and no. It's like that thing of whenever you belong to a community that manages to sort of, like, push through, when you get progress, you also get like backlash. And this is like the point that we're at now.
Your audience gets bigger, I guess, doesn't it, for the subject?
Well, partly, and it's that thing of more people sort of know about it. It's okay. But more people have an opinion about it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's probably, I reckon 10, 15 years ago, if you were doing a bit about it, I genuinely think a lot of the people in the audience would, their first response would be like, oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, and there was quite a lot of that. And now people sort of feel like they have to have opinions about it.
Yeah.
But so many of their opinions are coloured by inaccurate information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. Like the whole thing at the moment is in the UK, one of the big things is like, should trans people be allowed to use public toilets? And it's like, we have been forever. We have been using them forever, and mostly you haven't noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
And, are you trying to say that we should start allowing trans people in sport? I was like, if you're wanting to have an argument about starting to allow trans people in sport, you're about 1,000 years too late, mate. I think this is a really important thing to remember that, like, in 2005, I think it was, the law was changed, which meant that most sporting bodies allowed trans people to compete in sports, right? And
we didn't have social media properly, did we?
Yeah, and like 16 years later, we have still won fuck all.
Yeah,
we are shit at sport. That is like the one thing.
Maybe they shouldn't be letting that reason.
Imagine how furious they'd be if we were any good.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be fucking furious.
I'm pretty sure it's not illegal for anyone to use any toilet. I don't think, like, public toilets aren't really covered by...
There's a public order offence.
Yeah, but it's like...
There was a public order offence.
They're not really enforced. I've used, I won't lie, in my wild days.
Yeah.
I used to, you know, you could
hang
argue...
Hang around in the
you
ladies.
You could argue I identified as a woman every night out that I wanted to do a line of coke when I was pissed, right? Do you know what I mean? I've used women's toilets, but... And I'm not saying that is a good thing, by the way. I'm just saying I was just said a word. It was just being I don't think I don't know why it's become such an issue now.
Like anything that there is an issue with in that can simply be solved by closing the door. And that's
famously women's toilets known for their cubicles.
exactly. It's so much of the stuff has been whipped up into this fear, and it's a lot of it is people who have a lot of it's people who've had traumatic experience with cisgender men as opposed to anything else who are going,
a cisgender man is what exactly?
You, mate, and me.
I suspect.
I said that like Julian.
Trans. It's from the Latin, like, because trans is the on the opposite side to, and cis is the same side as. So that's kind of where it comes from. So cisgender just means somebody who isn't trans, and that's a whole fucking thing that people are like, you don't get to define me. And it's like, well, you didn't get to be defined as as heterosexual until you started defining people as homosexual.
That's
how this shit works. Like, we need these words. Now, I'm not cisgender, I'm normal. You're not, though, are you? You're a bit fucking odd. You've got this really weird obsession with people's genitals.
It is that. I do think there's like, I think, and obviously there's a difference between people that genuinely are trying to understand or ask questions because they want to understand what's going on. But I do think there's this weird, you know, it's like the freedom of speech thing. I think there's some people who are just obsessed by it.
They are. And some of them, it's almost like a religious cult. Like some of them, you see them getting up at like just before Graham Linehan was booted off Twitter, like, for about a year before that, he would get up at 6 a.m. and start tweeting horrible, nasty shit, lies often about trans people. And it carry on until 2 a.m. And then he'd go to bed and he'd get up the next morning, do the same thing. And so many of these people, they go that it's almost like there's a cult aspect. Yeah,
definitely.
To it.
Especially with him, I think there is he was obsessive about it. And he was somebody I muted ages ago.
Yeah.
But there was a period where I really just went back and had a little look through his stuff because I was like, what is happening with him? Because he was like, he wrote some of the most seminal pieces of comedy in my lifetime that I love as well.
What happened was that the end, one of the episodes of the IT Crowd had a trans character that started going out with Matt Berry. And the final joke of it was a 10-minute scene where he beat the shit out of her for being trans.
Yeah.
And people went, that's transphobic. And he went, no, I didn't intend it to be. And then a couple of people went, no, you're right, it's not transphobic. That was absolutely fine to joke about. And he went, see, these people are nice to me. And that was it. He kind of went off on one from that.
But he seems to be like, he doesn't understand the irony of a lot of what he's saying. That thing about, he's always going on about how he just listens, I'm just listening to women. It's like, but then most of the women messaging him are telling him the opposite to what he believes. But they're the ones
going, your handmaids, your handmaids.
I've heard that, handmaids. Is that a thing? I've never heard that used outside of the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, that's basically what they're sort of, they've gone, that's exactly where we're headed if you start allowing trans people to be able to do whatever. And it is absolutely like a cult, because what would happen, and I pointed this out a bunch of times over the summer, is that on a Sunday afternoon, somebody quite successful or famous who was incredibly transphobic would say something horrific that would then be picked up by lots of people in the trans community who would go, this is horrific, which would then allow all of the people who were on the side of these transphobic, they call themselves gender critical, but what they are is they're gender deniers.
Right.
They deny that gender exists, that gender identity exists. And they would then pick out various different trans people who'd complained about this or said that there was something horrible about this. And then thousands of them would just bombard you with messages going, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And just the sheer volume of it would lead eventually to somebody going, you can go and get fucked. I hope you get hit by a bus or something to those words. At which point they'd screen cap it and they go, you see what these terrible, awful, shitty trans people are doing? Every single week. And it's the way that cults behave to try and bond people together. Like the reason that the Jehovah's Witnesses go to your door isn't to try and get you to convert. That's what it's supposed to be about. But it's so that you will tell them to fuck off, so that they think that the people in the church are their friends and that people outside of the church are terrifying and horrible and scary. And it's the exact same thing. It's a brainwashing technique.
Sorry, they've really, I've not, obviously.
I mean, COVID, they've been fucked. They've just been having to knock on their own doors.
When I used to live in Tooting, I used to get Jehovah's at my door every couple of weeks. And now, you know, I've not had them for years.
Yeah.
My mate's mum was a Jehovah's and she knocked at my door once, not knowing I lived there. I was like, all right, Angela. I think she was a bit embarrassed. But so that's how they carry the message, isn't it?
Yeah.
They do it door to door.
They're supposed to be evangelizing door to door. Yeah, we had one come around to my girlfriend when she opened the door. She said, went to with a copy of the Watchtower and sort of said that the Jehovah's Witnesses. And my girlfriend, I'm terribly sorry, we're all homosexuals in here. And we never had one since.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's just
got blacklisted by the Jehovah's.
Yeah, Jehovah's just like,
they blocked you from their rounds.
Yeah, exactly. They've deplatformed me and I am absolutely sick of it. Where's my freedom of speech?
Yeah.
I should be able to tell them to fuck off every time. I'd
be gay in my own house. I see him now and again, actually. I just realised in London, I do think they've stopped door knocking to a certain degree, and now they do just stand outside train stations with the Watchtower.
Yeah.
A little stand, a couple of them just, hello. And always very pleasant the way they say hello, but I've never stopped. I used to stop all the time. I once had a really sort of quite harrowing exchange with a Mormon on Croydon High Street. I was walking down, and there was two very young, you know, the white shirt, black trouser guys. and sort of their little name badge
off on their mystery work, yeah, because they're elders at that point. 16, yeah. They get sent off into the world to get told to fuck off by people in fantastic new country.
And I didn't tell him to fuck off. He came up to me and he was very friendly. Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? And I was like, yeah, go on, man. Because he goes, are you religious? I was like, well, you know, it's not really. But I was raised Catholic, and you know, so I know a bit. And we just got into this little chat, and I didn't mean to, but I actually ended up asking him more questions than he was asking me, and made him sort of.
Who are you chatting to, bro?
And by the end of it, he was asking whether he could buy weed off you.
Yeah, well, basically, it was that. It was sort of like I just made him have a little. I saw him have a little mini crisis during our conversation. I didn't mean it. I just genuinely just want. I felt bad for the fact people tend to piss off, and I just thought I'll have a chat for 10 minutes.
Well, that's it, because I grew up in Chorley in Lancashire, which is the centre of Mormonism for the UK. Because when you're driving up the M61, there's a huge Mormon temple which looks like it doesn't fit in with anything else. It looks like it should be in LA or something. It's just this big marble building with this huge gold angel on the top of it. And I grew up with quite a lot of Mormon friends at school, and yeah, it's like it's nutty. It's nutty in a way that it's great.
Because what? They're the ones that were founded by what's his name? There's an American guy.
Yeah, Brigham Young. Brigham Young.
Fairly recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like in the last couple of 100 years.
Last couple of weeks.
He reckons he found like a sort
Joseph
of a
Smith.
Gold. Yeah, that's it. Found the golden sort of. Tablet or something in the
yeah he found a golden
woods.
Tablet which was like the next which was the Book of Mormon, which had like the full set of the Mormon stories,
but we weren't allowed to see it, obviously.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to see it. And in those in the years between being 12 when he found out he was the son of God and 30 when he started preaching in Israel, Jesus went and took a trip to the American continent. This is why the Mormon temple in Chorley is built exactly where it is, because it's apparently the exact halfway point between Salt Lake City in Utah, which is supposed to be like the new Eden, and Bethlehem. It's like the exact halfway point.
I've always thought of it as that, actually. So when I was growing up
and they built it, they had like they had like a bunch of like Mormon elders came down one weekend, and they all just sort of like walked across a field and all went here it is. And like when they were building it, none of the builders were allowed to have tea or coffee on the premises because they don't have any like stimulants, don't have any drugs.
Really?
And they weren't allowed to listen to music whilst they were
I'm
doing
out,
it.
Mate.
And they fired the first lot of builders on it because they didn't take any notice, and they all took shits in the foundations and stuff like that. So it's just
God.
Like, yeah.
It's built on shit.
No offense, Mormons. No offense.
No offense at all.
So they believe that, and they believe that
it's ridiculous.
And they believe that God turned black people's skin dark because they were sinners. Ooh. But in 1978, he changed his mind.
Fucking hell.
About whether or not they were evil, and they're now allowed into the Mormon Church. It's properly fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So if any Mormons are offended by this, good. To be fair.
They definitely should be.
I just find it so fascinating where, like, you know, I don't have any issue with religious people. But you do think some of the teachings you've got to think.
Sometimes when you dig a bit deeper, it's like, oh, okay.
Absolute,
you know what I mean?
Whoppers, isn't it? Like,
yeah. All righty then. I gotta go. Okay.
It's something. I know, like, so many religious people, like, because I know loads of atheists. But I was sort of like quite active with sort of like the skeptics movement until a lot of them suddenly like turned into raging fucking transphobes as well. Yeah. But a lot of that was like, oh yeah, we need to get rid of all religion because that's how you'd bring about peace on earth. And it's like, well, no, because there are loads, like, often it has fuck all to do with that. I've seen absolutely no evidence that people who aren't religious are any less violent or dickish than people who are religious. It's just people who are religious are able to blame it on their religion.
Yeah. Definitely.
A lot of the time.
I remember growing up Catholic, you know, I never really believed all the hoo-ha. I felt like it was more of a cultural thing for sort of Irish Catholic, you know what I mean? It was like, you go and get the sort of host and all that, and I just thought of it as, oh, it's a nice bit of wafer that is meant to suggest, like, sort of represent God.
Yeah, it's the same thing I get from going to AA meetings and, you know, sitting around and chatting with people and having a biscuit, sharing a biscuit with them. and talking
and
about
how
the shit
do you deal with
life.
A how do you deal with a God thing in AA meetings? Then you just kind of
I ignore it.
Yeah, yeah.
When people go on about it, like occasionally you'll get some occasion, like you occasionally you get some fucking nutter who's like so into it and so desperate that like they sit there and their entire share when they're supposed to be talking about their experience, strength and hope is all about how much of an evangelical Christian they are and how everyone should be and how everyone is who isn't is wrong. And I usually try and jump in immediately after them if that happens, because I know that, because I can usually read a room quite well as a comic, like quite good at reading a room to see people who are about to like jump in and possibly go and escalate it to a situation where somebody ends up with a kicking. And I just go in and go, oh, thank you so much for that, because I don't believe in any of that stuff at all. And this is why, and it really helps me. I've done that before, but I don't think it's necessary particularly. It helps people, but it's more about recognizing that you're not in control. That's the most important thing, I think, in
sort of
like recovery journeys type thing. It's about recognizing you can't control everything.
You're powerless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to wrap up proceedings. That was quite a somber note to end on, isn't it?
It is. I'm not in control of anything. You're powerless.
I suppose actually it's a hope. I find that quite a
I do.
It's humbling, isn't it?
I do. It is. I really find it helpful, because it's that thing of I no longer have to try and be in control of everything.
Yes.
I no longer have to try and control what other people think of me is none of my fucking business. And that is a lovely thing to find, lovely place to find yourself in.
Exactly.
Just
it's
a good message.
It's a message for the week.
Yeah.
Don't worry what people think about you. Yeah.
Thought for the day.
Yeah.
Here on Two Vegan Idiots.
It's TVI now. We've no longer referred to it as Two Vegan Idiots. We call it TVI.
On TVI.
Because I was getting a bit Peter Singer and started to get too much of a vegan activist.
Yeah.
But anyway, what shall we end? Which basically find where people can find you online on Twitter and all those.
Yeah, it's at Bethany Black, BEFFERNIEBLACK.
How long before they can expect to be blocked?
if I've not blocked
one
them already,
comment, you're done.
If I've not blocked you already, then give us a follow on that. My Twitch stream, I do a daily Twitch show at 2 p.m. A brew and a chat, sit and have a chat about whatever is coming up in the chat box with whoever's there or whatever's on my mind for that day. And that's the same name, Bethany Black, because I thought I'd keep them both the same, in spite of the fact I'm fairly sure that the correct spelling of my name is available on Twitch. I only did it that way because I worked for the guy, I worked with a Cockney guy when I was at a credit card company, and I was his manager, and he had to put my name into someone's notes, and he spelt it phonetically with two F's.
Beth Ernie.
Yeah, Beth Ernie. I was like, wonderful.
Well, excellent. And Julian, what any other business? We just got to thank our patrons.
Thanks, new patrons.
Oh, we had a nice patron get together last weekend. It was really nice.
Yeah,
it was good fun. We'll do another one soon.
Great.
And that's it. Sign up for extra stuff. We do extra episodes, just things where me and Julian do solo, like catch up ones. We've got other great guests coming up. We're coming up to episode 100 next week. So this will be, I think this is 98, I think, actually. So we've got 98 there. So we're nearly at the 100 mark. Got a good guest. We're not going to, it's a surprise guest for the 100th episode, but we're not going to release it until the day. But other than that, Bethany, people can check you out online. And when gigs start up again, they'll keep an eye out. You'll be knocking around.
Yeah, I'll be about. Hopefully, with the way Twitch is going, I'll just be doing tour shows. So that'd be nice. But yeah.
I do think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to find it so weird going back to, like, I don't want to go back to the exact way it was of traveling as much as I was. And
no, well, that's it. I'm now realizing that with the Twitch stream the way that it is, I'll probably only have to do the gigs that I like when I go back.
Yeah. That's nice. I mean, that's just a dream, isn't it? Right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Good night. Changing the podcast. I think you're dying of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm all right.